podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Match show after Liverpool have beaten it's your pink after Liverpool have beaten Leicester by 2-1. We've had to run the studio because of a couple of technical issues. We're here now. Neil Atkinson, Steve Graves, Paul Senior. Steve, that is, it's hard to put into context how big that win is. It gives Liverpool the situation where they're now on 4 points in the head at this stage last season, but it's not so much that. It's the fact that it went 1-1 and Liverpool did not take 1-1. Liverpool knew they needed to try and get all 3 points, and fucking hell, they got them.
Liverpool found a way, and thank you, Man City, because it's because of that. It's exactly that. We know what we need to do. We know
97 points wasn't enough
and probably won't be again, even at the rate City are going at now. They'll go over 100, so that's what we need to do. We're clear on that. I saw the manager's quotes where he says we didn't play like a side that had won 7 in a row. We played just like a side that hadn't won any and was desperately fighting to get a win, which is exactly what it felt like. Dead on their feet. Looked like it didn't look like it was inevitable, but it didn't look like they'd ever given up on it. They never gave up on the idea that a goal was there for them. And then when the chance came, the coolest man in the ground, the coolest man in the club.
It's fucking astonishing.
I mean, you know, you think that the Fulham game and the last season, similar circumstances, the whole everything down. So, you know, it's one of the biggest moments in the club's history, really.
Could prove that, yeah.
Could well prove to be. James Milner at James Milner's feet, and it's just never in doubt. It's never even close. It's sends him the wrong way into the bottom corner.
But also, his whole performance was phenomenal. I thought I think he comes off man of the match after he scores the penalty, but he probably was anyway. He was, you know, considering the fact that he hasn't started a lot of games, he was unreal. He sets up the Mane chance in the first half. He's carrying Wijnaldum and Fabinho in part of the second half in terms of legs. I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, I mean, first half, he almost plays a lot of the time as like a backup left back, so allow Robertson to get forward as well. He's just kind of in a half position, just covering everything and covering so much ground, and then having quality on the ball as well when he gets a chance to taking fouls. There's one that I think it's Ndidi gets booked for early in the game that he goes through him basically. And Milner's just never stops. He never hides. He never gives up, and that's emblematic of the whole team. I think, you know, from Mane to him to Van Dijk, that's it's in their DNA, it's in their character of every single player we've got, really.
The penalty goes in and Mane celebrates it exactly the same as he celebrated the Salah penalty going in Madrid. He drops to his knees and is absolutely screaming up to the heavens. When the Madison goal goes in, Mane drops to his knees and is punching the floor. Like the understanding from this Liverpool team, Paul, of what they need to do, of what everything means, is, I mean, to be honest, I'd be genuinely concerned if I was Man City now, in that Liverpool look as though they've decided the cliche of 38 cup finals. Actually, it is 38 cup finals. I'm looking at them like, good God, these footballers are men possessed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see what Sadio Mane was up to because I was upside down on the cop. But no,
it was bedlam, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, wow. I mean, I've had a lovely afternoon. I've had a really lovely afternoon. But I think you touched on it earlier. Thank you, Manchester City. You said, Steve, didn't you? I think the standard was set. You know, if 97 points isn't enough, what is? Well, maybe it's 114, and that's a. It seems a ridiculous sentence, but we've just been talking in the car on our way here, Steve. It's like you look at the Chelsea game and go, well, we got the 2 points we didn't get last season, and you look at the Leicester game now and you go, it's the 2 points we didn't get last season. It's going to require near perfection, and Liverpool were... I thought at 1-0, I thought if we'd have come out the ground at 1-0, we'd have been talking in such glowing terms about how brilliant a Liverpool performance it was, and we deserve to beat Leicester today. And I think
that's got to be loud and proud.
Yeah, 100%. We deserve to beat Leicester today. Leicester are a very, very good side, but not as good as the boys in red. We 100% deserve it, and I think that the message in the media might be lucky Liverpool, and it's not been a widely televised game. This do not fall for that. Liverpool were excellent. If it would have been 1-0, it would have been one of them ones where you go, mature Liverpool. And Leicester get their goal, and it didn't feel deserved. I don't think.
You know. I think they have 5 minutes before the goal where they deserve to get something, if you sort of know what I mean. But for the previous 75 minutes, I asked you in the car when was the goal scored.
Yeah.
For the previous 75 minutes, Liverpool deserved to be 2-0 up.
Yeah.
There was 5 minutes where Leicester suddenly... You're thinking something might just be on for them here. They're beginning to get there. They're turning a little bit of a screw, to be fair to them.
Yeah.
It's almost as though they've waited. We say this all the time. They just get there.
They were going to have the chance. You know, to score. They're not third because they're mugs. They're third, partly because the other sides who should occupy them positions are shite at the moment. But they're third on merit. They are a good side. But Liverpool were a class above sounds harsh because they were always in the game, Leicester. But we should have been 2-0 up. I think there was enough opportunities in the game where Liverpool should have been a routine.
The idea that you're able to say real performance of intent from Liverpool. They won the game 2-0. That's the thing
that won't come out in the wash, I don't think, after all this. But I'm not going to leave the studio without making myself abundantly clear that it should have been that sort of result. I thought it's a lovely thing to see, actually, that we were just good at a lot of it. And there was things where you could pick up on little minute issues across the pitch where I thought Fabinho was he was excellent in part, but I think once he got the booking, he looked like he carried it quite heavily. There was things I thought he wanted to go for that he couldn't, but it was still a good performance.
You can say the same. It's interesting, the booking, because Fabinho gets one and Ndidi gets one. And one of the really interesting things I thought Leicester did was they actually played Ndidi on Fabinho, which is something which we, you know, they played him the formations 4-1-4-1, etc., etc. Every opportunity, whenever Leicester had a sniff, Liverpool might go to Fabinho. Ndidi was right on him, and it's interesting that to me. We know that Rodgers isn't an idiot, Steve. You know, we know he thinks about the game often in different ways. I'd say as well, he can be unconventional in that. But we saw the same thing when Fabinho played right on Jorginho a couple of weeks back at Chelsea. My point is more, I wonder whether or not Leicester have thought to themselves, he's definitely going to start Fabinho, and there's going to be a question around his legs, because I think that's all that you see from Fabinho today. It's been the end of a run of games where bar Milton Keynes dons, he's played every game, he's played 90 minutes in every game, and I thought at times today I just wanted him to be subbed purely for himself. He looked shattered.
Yeah, and it's to his credit that there isn't anyone. There's players who can play capably in that position, but no one doing an impression of Fabinho isn't really in any of their repertoires. And I think he's so fundamental. It's a real compliment to him that when you do see a little drop off, you it's so noticeable in a role where sometimes that's not always evident.
Sometimes you can skate.
I think you're right. You know, matching them up is maybe it's a bit of a trend in across the league generally. Is you sort of have those two players, you know, sort of try and take each other out of the game in a way. And I think with Fabinho as well is, you know, even today there's some passes over the top, some balls through that just remarkably he picks people out when he sort of plays a pass, when he lofts it, he so rarely doesn't find the man or find the stride of the man. He's such a talented footballer on the ball and offers so much else as well. It really lucky to have him, and I think the midfield as a whole,
that's the thing that we know and not a lot of the rest of the country know as well.
That's because you have to go down, you look at Fabinho through nine world class players to, you know, like, where do you start with Liverpool?
I think when you look at Fabinho, you almost don't expect it from him, because he's so tall and big and what's the word, lanky, rangy, you know, people he's so composed on it, and his passing is the part of the game which is probably the difference between him and most of the world in his position.
The way he passes out of tackles. He tackles and passes in one move, he gets the weight of it, unbelievable. When you think about the idea of, you know, at that level of legs about to meet each other, but he knows, he just nicks in ahead, and then suddenly it's at Robertson's stride, and you're like, hang on, that would look like a 50-50, and now Andy Robertson's got the ball and is pushing forward. I think it's unreal.
The way he doesn't, like, his back almost never hits the floor in the tackle. It's almost like he's bent his legs the way the goalkeeper would receive a ball a little bit, and he's quick to be back up on his feet and into the pass. I know what you're saying. I mean, I think your point earlier, Neil, on when there was periods of the game that Milner was carrying the pair of them was right. I mean, there was a period in the game when I thought Milner was struggling, but then he quickly rectified and got back in. Ronaldo was a bit indifferent, I would say. There was times I thought, oh, maybe this was the one to bring Keita back in for, but towards the end, when you're struggling, he's sort of one that he can keep the ball in tight spaces and stuff like that.
Thought he carried it a few times more than I like it when he starts moving forward with the ball and sort of beating a man, and when the end, his finish isn't quite there quite late in the game in the second half. When he just starts looking like a more attacking minded player when he gets the chance to, I think that's a positive, and it's when he starts to sort of shine in the game. But as you say, his mentality is remarkable as well. And you know, it's those fine margins, isn't it? You could easily have looked at the midfield and gone, well, Milner's the oldest man in there. His legs are, you know, he's clearly as tired as anyone. He could have been taken off.
The mentality's unreal, Paul, from all of them, from every single one of them, even like down to Lovren getting lashed in, getting thrown into the
great. Absolutely fantastic, Lovren. I mean, I was critical of Joe Gomez in the post-match pint in the week. I thought he was poor against Salzburg. And Dixie's done him no favours there. I think the saving grace for Joe Gomez in terms of keeping his place in the 18 will be the fact he can cover both sides of full-back. Lovren was standout good today. I thought he was on the end of everything that Leicester threw in the box. He's Dejan Lovren, you know, the quotes that people have beaten him up for in the past where he've said he believes he's one of the best centre-halves in the world, I don't think that's changed in Dejan Lovren's head. So the slap in the face he'll have had through not featuring in Premier League games so far this season will resonate with him a little bit. And he'll have wanted to come out today and put in a solid performance, and bloody hell, he did it. He stood out as probably the best out the four in the back four today, I would say. He did really well for someone who's not played has he played at all this season?
MK Dons.
MK, but not in a first choice capacity. So no, fair play to him, well done. On the other side of the coin, the Turkish lad they had at centre half is so good. He's so, the amount of times we tried that ball into Salah, and he just cleared it up all day. I was getting annoyed that we kept doing that.
I've seen him this season, and he actually reminds me of Dejan. Like, he literally reminds, like, the way he goes about playing centre back, and that he wants to be front foot, he wants to be aggressive, he wants to win his battle. He's quite happy just to knock it into touch. He's not a Virgil van Dijk style central defender. He really reminds me of Dejan. Yeah, he really, really reminds me. I mean, it was dead interesting that they were both on the pitch at the same time. He does do well, but it is worth pointing out. And you know, Steve, we're going to give Leicester a lot of credit through this show.
He's 23.
We're going to give Leicester a lot of credit through this show, and I'm happy to do that. But that is an absolute gobshite of a tackle from Choudhury on Salah. It's one thing to do a tactical foul in that scenario after Salah has got the best of Soyuncu. But what he does is he doesn't just do a tactical foul, he tries to hurt him, as far as I'm concerned. I'm looking at that thinking that is a bad tackle. And the fact of the matter is, like it or not, and we have Pete Selby on talking about Leicester, and I like Pete a lot, and I think he talks a load of sense, but the fact is this, the lad's got form, and that was no battle of laughs, that tackle. It was really moody.
Yeah, it's not the first time, and in the end, it will lead to him, it will harm his career in the end. It'll harm, he could end someone else's, but it'll harm his own. Klopp after the game talked about saying he was really good, his development's been brilliant, we've been following him and looking at how, you know, what a good player he is, but this is a thing that he does and he needs to stop. There's not been a player like that in the league, not been that many players like that in the league for a while. I think, you know, there used to be, you could name them for most sides sort of in the bottom 10 or so. I think everyone's kind of gone past that a little bit, and it's a bit of a throwback thing to just do that for no real reason, you know. There's a tactical reason to do the foul, but not to go that far and go over the top. And it's you would hope it is something, you know. People say they shouldn't take that out of their game. He absolutely should take that out of his game. You would hope that he's got the right manager to have that conversation as well.
Just reading, he did the same to Matt Ritchie.
The tackle on Matt Ritchie is worse than that one, to be quite honest with you. The tackle on Matt Ritchie is moody as anything. And there's a thing here, Paul, where for that lad, like, Henderson had a word with him afterwards and was speaking to him throughout. The game ends bad-tempered. I think Andy Robertson might have had to take Perez out into the car park and wallop him everywhere, but then that's the way it's gone.
Has thrown a dig there, you know. I'm sure I've seen him throw a dig. Listen, I could be wrong, and, you know, we don't have the benefit when doing these shows of seeing the game back, but it went off a bit, like old school went off. A bit like
I sort of half enjoyed that aspect, but the Choudhury part is the movie part.
Sour, and I hope Mo's all right. You know, it always worries me when a player plays on and then has to go. Actually, do you know what? I'm in too much pain here. Something's hurt him there. So
I like the Lallana coming on as well. Decided he was coming on just to have running battles with as many people as possible. I couldn't work out whether or not that was him or the manager's instruction. I suspect it might just be him. He was only on the pitch for about 4 minutes and he had about 9 rows, which I was very into.
Do you know what? These are the
anyone who's calling Johnny Evans a prick is fine by me.
Absolutely. But do you know, the lads who take a bit of flack Lallana being one of them, Dejan Lovren being one of them, they give a massive fuck about Liverpool.
Yeah, they stand up, don't they? Do you never feel that Adam Lallana doesn't feel part of this?
He was the first one at the cop giving it the big in, and the second one was Degsy, and so happy despite very limited minutes. And I think that's important, really. It just shows you that they respect the fact they're not getting a game. The manager's got total control of the club, where you're seeing other clubs in disarray at the moment, namely Everton and Tottenham, Manchester United. And when you look at Liverpool and you look at the guys who aren't playing, who could be playing Premier League football every week elsewhere, and there's a few of them at Liverpool, you've got to think, wow, this is lucky that their attitude is staying that, and they still clearly and so visibly give a fuck about the club and its well-being. It's great.
It is, I think, Stephen. I think that matters. You know, that, and that's one of the things that underpins this whole performance. It's this collective. The thing that why I've come out of the ground absolutely bouncing, you come out absolutely bouncing, is because there's a job to do, and that's win the Football League.
Yeah.
And they know that to win the Football League, to do 38 games, it'll need 20 of them. It'll need 22 of them. This isn't done. No one's locked. It's not like it's got to be. And in fact, if anything, today, the last 20 minutes is an advert. It cannot be the same 11 players every single week. It has to be changed quite consistently. And those footballers, therefore, can feel part of it. They deserve to.
Well, they'll all feel they've got a special thing they can contribute. Who doesn't think that at some point, Jerdan Shaqiri, for example, will do something special for Liverpool in this season? Not that Jerdan Shaqiri certainly does. Who doesn't think that that even someone like Brewster could be involved? Elliot's on the bench today, and then players, you know, again, Lallana, all of them have got something to offer, and I think it's just finding those moments and backing those hunches, I suppose, those times when you think this is his game, a bit like when Lallana plays Burnley last season and just is a revelation kind of from nowhere. I think there's loads of that now for Liverpool. There's loads of opportunities to do that once we get past this next little set of games, which I feel like we'll say a lot, like, oh yeah, we'll start rotating once we get past this.
Someone's got to play Genk.
There's always one you can play.
No, someone's got to play.
Someone's got to play Genk.
And maybe that gives them a bit of room to rotate.
I think the Napoli result gives us a little bit of leeway there as well to rotate in loads of international footballers. You know, let's not forget. But
that's the point. Yeah, bringing good players.
And then he's got his goalkeeper coming back as well, which is an immeasurable boost. I mean, who could have imagined without Alisson that Liverpool could go on this on such a run. You know, it's a testament to all of them. Adrian obviously, but all of the others as well, and just adjusting and adapting to that.
He ended up on the halfway line when the penalty went in.
Which
I was very into as well.
Again, just so invested in this, you know, and again that character, the character that he's shown, it feels like he's filled a little bit of maybe what Moreno offered character wise in the squad, which I think again was always just a little bit fun, a little bit of something a bit extra. You know, there's so much professionalism in this side, and he's certainly professional, but he also looks like he's, I think he went into, I'm not sure if he went in to translate in the Perez row. I'm going to suggest that might have been what he was trying to do, rather than just to get involved. But I'd quite like that he got involved as well, to be honest.
Yeah, I want all things from him in those instances. It's one where, Paul, we'll do all sorts of calmer analysis about it in shows to come. We'll all take a breath. We'll all have a little look. We won't all be giddy. But the extent to which that today felt like April is hard to put into words.
Yeah.
It felt like absolute April. It was, you know, from the minute it goes 1-1, the crowd's interesting through the game, and there's times where it's absolutely bang up at 1-0, and then there's times where actually the game's, it's all a bit quiet, it's all a bit flat. I think the same for their end couldn't quite calibrate themselves either. Did a little bit of his,
I mean, so they fuck off their end, to be honest with you. Leicester's away fans can fuck off.
Good.
The fact he fucking sat down throughout most of it can fuck off as well. I almost want things to go all right for Leicester, but then I watch them with them doing that fucking stupid clap thing at home and then sitting down at away matches, so that takes all that away for me. Sorry, the April thing is...
It felt the most run-in it could possibly feel on the 3rd of October.
Without being in danger of repeating myself, it's exactly what Steve said earlier, is it's thanks to Manchester City, it's 97 points wasn't good enough. Every win matters, and like, I remember near being in fucking tears at Fulham last year, and that was what, March, April then.
Yeah,
and I would have felt exactly the same if that wouldn't have if that wouldn't have worked for us today. We cannot afford to drop points. It's, we've been we've been shown the blueprint last season how to win the league, and it's not really going to change much. That Manchester City are still a very good side. They've had a bump in the road with, was it Tottenham and Norwich, that they've dropped points. So, but we've got to capitalise on it and dropping stupid points at home. Despite how good Leicester are, we are much better, so we have to beat Leicester
for me today, Steve. This is the game that tips it. I've been trying to be quite calm around the season. I've been also, you know, of the view that God, Manchester City are really, really good. At times last season it felt like Liverpool not got away with one, but rode the luck until the very end in games and all that sort of stuff. And I think that, you know, when you try to do a calm analysis in the summer, that was what was one of the things that was going through your head. The way the season started, today, my attitude all the way through, when I was trying to big it up in different ways, how important I think today's game was for how the next four games will play out, but also how the league table plays out. But I'll say this today, as far as I'm concerned, Liverpool are favourites for the title now.
They have to be. Why wouldn't they be? We're 8 points ahead.
Favourites for the title.
8 points ahead. At this stage, and obviously Man City will go and probably win tomorrow, but then they're winning to get to within 5 points, which is no fun. We've been there with it being 1 point, and it was no fun, and now it's five, and Liverpool obviously have a couple of really potentially tough games coming up, but they'll go into them completely unfazed with no fear. They'll go into them knowing that they've played the best team I think they've played so far this season, and been able to beat them, and been able to have 18 shots when they had two. And it's remarkable, really, in that we're all still going away going, well, Leicester could have got a point, and you wouldn't have said they didn't merit a point in the same breath as saying that Liverpool deserved to win the game. I think those things can both be true. But 18-2, and I quite liked the game because it was kind of, there was momentum ebbed in it. Liverpool, you know, probably for 75 of the total minutes were ahead, you know, had the upper hand. But the times when Leicester did, it wasn't because Liverpool fell off a cliff. It wasn't like Salzburg. It wasn't like some games where it's just like suddenly everything just goes wrong. There was a genuine contest there, I think, and it looked like Leicester can give a lot of sides not just genuine contests, but beat them. And I think that, you know, they are the best team we played. They're much better than Arsenal. Probably Sheffield United might be second. I'm not sure. But, you know,
I don't think you're wrong, Steve. I've just been looking at a couple of bits on Twitter there and seeing the video of Adrian telling Vardy to fuck off. I don't know if you've seen it. It's absolutely fantastic.
No, but it's very much content that needs to be in the centre of my being.
I'll give it the biggest of retweets. Adrian, the goalkeeper, he does, like people were saying to me for the goal, was it soft? I don't really think so. It goes through him, but so what? The one from Vardy that he stops is excellent goalkeeper. Yeah. And do you know what? I think that might be the last time we see him as first choice goalkeeper for Liverpool for a while. And there needs to be a lot said about him. We are 8 out of 8 in the Premier League. We are on the 30 minutes in to the Premier League season, Alisson Becker gets an injury, and he has been unbelievable.
He's been great in one-on-ones.
He's been great in terms of just being, even in his distribution and being alert to the way we play. He's been the best second choice goalkeeper this club's had in my lifetime, I would say. And we've spent some decent money on ones that have ended up as second choice as well. Mm. Brilliant that we've got to the point where Alisson can come back in, and we've sort of got away with it. Would you say?
You know, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
One of your top 3 to 5 players gets an injury on the first day. You miss him in a key position. A lad that you brought in just around the time he gets injured comes on, and has been brilliant. So fucking fair play to him. I love it when he runs at the cop and gives it the big one. I've absolutely loved Simon Goh for Liverpool, and I'd like to see him rewarded with every opportunity possible, because now you can feel...
Well, I'm well into a League Cup run now.
Yeah.
In order to get some games and an FA Cup run as well, and, you know, even maybe give him the Champions League group games, I don't know, maybe he plays Genk if Alisson's still coming back.
Yeah, you need to manage him a little bit.
I think
but we can relax, and yeah. I don't think we've had that for a long time with a second choice keeper. And goalkeepers are quite often boring to talk about, so I'll keep it short. But it's been brilliant.
Well, they're boring to think. I genuinely think the manager at times has just not been bothered. Do you know what I mean? He's like, there's always been better things to do, other things to get on with.
The other kid's good as well, Keller.
Yeah.
We've got to see
that
really
well.
Yeah, Kane Tolan. So that's boss. And the same goes for Degsy, the same goes for Adam Lallana when he comes on today. It's great to have that.
Man of the match?
I think it might be Mane, and we've not even talked about him. I mean, not least, he scores the goal, he wins the penalty, he plays at right back for quite a lot of the game. He moves positions. I thought it was interesting, wasn't it? We went back to kind of the normal front three in the run into half time, and then came back and changed it again. It must have thrown Leicester to some extent in that they go in at half time, and you think, well, Liverpool have gone back to Mane left, Firmino through the middle, and Salah right, and then we kind of threw it back up in the air, and very nearly scored just after half time, and that would have made it a completely different game in terms of perception and how we come away from it, really. I think it might be Mane. I mean, Lovren was excellent, but Milner obviously deserves a shout too.
Divock Origi for me.
Does what he does do well.
Wow. Is it the last three games he's come on as a sub, and he has been brilliant in all three of them. He lashes it over someone's head and just drives at them, and it results in us
winning
the penalty.
I think left-hand side, I might actually prefer him to Firmino. I mean, there's so many other ways in which I prefer Firmino, but playing off the left, he can play a bit like a winger and he can play a bit like a forward, and I think Firmino is kind of inevitably an inside forward in that role.
My actual manager match, I think I've got to give it to Lovren to come in cold like that. I don't quite know what's wrong with Joel Matip. Some are saying groin in the ground, some are saying hamstring. Is it not been cleared up? No one knows.
Really, no.
Matip obviously secured himself as first choice centre half. Thought Gomez was poor in a week before. For Degsy to come in against the best side we've seen at Anfield and be faultless, I would say, is testament to him, because there's so many tweets before the game where people were losing their mind over him playing a game, and he just showed that.
It's fucking exhausting, by the way.
It's
fucking exhausting.
Yeah, it is. Wild, and why are we pricks to our own lads?
It's not like they're putting me or you in. You know, it's just like he was in a World Cup final. He's an international footballer. He's played loads of really good games for Liverpool.
He's made mistakes. I'm not stupid enough not to have seen.
People are like, oh, we can never win because he's playing. Well,
fuck off.
Isn't it?
You're like, it's not right that we do this, and I feel like the last two shows I've done I've had to go with our fans, but fuck off, they're all great at the moment, they're all great, and back them all, and if that's all I ever fucking say on this show at the moment, we are great, and I think today's show just why.
One of the greatest Liverpool teams of all time have beaten Leicester by 2-1. Have gone 8 points clear of Manchester City. Have won 8 from 8. Liverpool Football Club may or may not be the devil's club, but Divock Origi's Liverpool, they're on the way to glory.
Thank you for listening to the Anfield Wrap. Listen, you're probably going to get bored of this over the next few weeks. We're putting this at the end of every show. It's Neil Atkinson here, whether I hosted this show or not. To ask you to vote for us in the British Podcast Awards, to do that you go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote, and there you'll find it is the Listener's Choice Award, supported by BBC Sounds. If you search for the Anfield Wrap in the box that comes up, you will get the Anfield Wrap, or TAW also gets us the Anfield Wrap as well. So TAW gets us the Anfield Wrap, or the Anfield Wrap in there. And then from there, if you vote for us, you'll then get an email that you'll have to click to confirm the vote. And then from there, you've registered the vote, and we appreciate it very much. We've never won this award in the British Podcast Award. We've come second 3 consecutive years. We discovered that last season we were a little bit closer than we thought last year. Good Lord, not everything works like that, Neil. And so we thought, well, let's give it a real go. We'll give it a big push this time out. So hopefully you've been able to do that for us, and hopefully you're happy to do so as well. We do always appreciate the support in any way in which it comes at the Anfield Wrap, and especially through what's obviously been a difficult time for a number of podcasts, for obvious reasons. Anyway, thank you very much indeed, and take care. Sports Social Podcast Network.